the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague, Andrew Collier, Managing Director, Orient Capital Research, author of China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down Its Tech Giants. We move immediately to tell an anecdote. 10 years ago, Andrew, a very good day to you, Alibaba IP'd in the 70s, went up 38% in the first day, raised $21 billion or more for its ownership, and climbed all the way to 319 in the New York Stock Exchange during the pandemic of 2020, the unsolved pandemic. It is now back at 78. This is a combination of Amazon and Google and Facebook and all together. Does this tell us that the stock was always misrepresented, that China's economy has collapsed, that the consumers have another way of buying things? What does this tell us about tech giants in China right now? Good evening to you, Andrew.
Good evening. Alibaba is a wonderful company. Jack Ma is an entrepreneur who spoke English and was quite westernized and built this company that was like essentially like Amazon in many ways and became huge because consumers in China wanted to buy things online just like they do in the United States. However, the Chinese government was concerned about the size of the company, and they claim it was because of it was having a monopoly over online shipments. But I suspect a lot of it had to do with the fact that Jack Ma was getting too big for his britches, and he was becoming quite popular and was also very wealthy. So a couple years ago, starting in 2020, they basically started attacking the tech sector, and as a result, now the stock price of Alibaba and a lot of its revenues are much lower. Part of that is due to a slumping economy in China, but certainly part of it is due to the government's own actions.
Gordon, you have a question for Andrew.
Andrew, there's another Chinese behemoth, very impressive, Tencent. And Tencent competes with Alibaba and competes with some other companies. But it is a giant and it's a conglomerate. How is Tencent doing as opposed to Alibaba?
Well, Tencent is faring a little bit better because the Jack Ma at Alibaba went in front of senior leaders in 2020 and basically made some nasty comments about government regulation that was not appreciated at the time. And Tencent has not run afoul of that. So some of the tech firms like Huawei, which is in the hardware side of the equation, making phones and chips, is also doing quite well. So there are certain parts of the tech sector that are still have escaped, but many of the service platform, what they call the platform economy that do online education or do online goods transshipments have not done well and have been quite strongly attacked.
The report that I have from you, Andrew, China's Circling of the Wagons Financial Strategy. This is the bond market, which is a completely unknown to me and always has been. My brain just won't absorb it, but this sounds like bad news. What's happened?
Well, it's a bit complicated, but to make the story simple, basically the government is concerned about speculative trading in bonds by a lot of the banks. And one of their big worries is that China's going to have something the way we did with SVA Bank in Silicon Valley that loaded up on a bunch of financial products and then ended up going belly up when interest rates rose. So the Chinese have the same concerns. And that's why they're cracking down on bank trading bonds. However, as usual, behind the scenes, there may be some other reasons for this. And that's what I speculate in my report. Basically, the Chinese government wants the banks to be lending to consumers for mortgages, wants the banks to be lending to companies. But instead, the banks are chasing after government bonds. The reason for this is because the economy is doing so badly in China. People aren't buying property because prices are down 30 or 40%. Corporations don't feel like there's any reason to invest in their businesses because the economy is going south so quickly that they're all just worrying. They're putting their money at the banks into the bond market owned by the government. And the government does not like that. So even though they are claiming that they're concerned about financial risk, they're actually sort of yelling at the banks, okay, come on, guys, lend to the real economy, lend to consumers, lend to businesses. And you can't really do that because the banks aren't stupid. They're not going to do something that's not going to be good for their balance sheets. So it's an interesting quandary for the central government.
So I want to understand this. The central government doesn't want banks buying government bonds because the interest rates are going to change and there might be turmoil. Why is it that government bonds are a no-go for them?
Well, if you own an asset, any asset, and the price changes very rapidly, so suddenly your bond that you thought is worth $10 is worth $5, then obviously that's going to cause problems for your balance sheet, because as a bank, you have to have a whole bunch of safe assets. And the concern is that there might be some significant change in interest rates that have been very low in China that could affect the stability of the banking system. And that's sort of legitimate, but my belief is that you can do that through ordinary rulemaking. You don't have to start admonishing, sort of yelling at the banks to change their behavior. And the other aspect of this that's kind of ironical is that the government is lowering interest rates, busy lowering interest rates, because they're trying to goose up the economy and make money cheaper. So, but at the same time, they're yelling at the banks for loading up on bonds that is causing interest rates to fall. So it's kind of contradictory and doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the way China works.
Gordon, you have a question for Andrew.
Andrew, the Beijing controls the banks. But the question is, if it really wanted the banks to lend to consumers, if it wanted the banks to stop speculating in bonds, it could actually direct them to do so. But it would have to, I think, probably tell the banks that they're not going to have to be worried about losses. So really what the government is doing is got two contradictory rules for the banks. Go out and lend, but make sure that your lending is prudent. And you just can't do both. What do you think?
That's exactly right. I would contest the idea that Beijing controls the banks. It is true that the half of the banking system are state banks that have a large government stake in them. But the other half is a lot of rural and city banks. And the degree of control by the central government is a little bit less than one would think, given that it's a state-controlled economy. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the problem. If you're a banker and you're sitting there and you get this directive, well, go out and lend. And meanwhile, you know darn well that if in next year, if all those loans turn belly up, you're going to be out of a job, or you'll be demoted, or you won't have a chance to get a raise. So they're sitting on their hands trying to figure out a way to make Beijing happy while still keeping their banks solvent. Plus, overall, as you noted, the banking system is the backbone of the Chinese economy. They have a terrible stock market that's not very large. They don't have a lot of investment funds like Fidelity and Vanguard and that kind of thing. And so people and the property market used to be where people parked their money, but the property market's gone down quite significantly. So the end result is that they're chasing the bond market. And the banks are, if they start doing bad lending, they're going to be in trouble and the whole economy is going to be in trouble. So it's a very difficult spot for the central government.
Andrew, the demand that the banks loan to people, consumer class, is that something that they can make happen? I mean, they give the order. Can they make consumers take out mortgages and borrow from banks? Does the power extend to that degree?
No, they can't order people to do that. And particularly since mortgages now are a death knell because, you know, what are you buying? You're buying something that's probably going to go down in price. They can't make people do that. And of course, in a place like America, you could have credit cards that suddenly offer, you know, free coffee makers or, you know, points on an airline, that kind of thing. But they don't have that kind of system. And the credit card industry is not very well advanced. They tend to do everything through online transactions. So there's not a lot that they can do on the consumer side. It's the corporate side, as Gordon has indicated, where you could force them to lend. But there, the banks are balking.
And this was something that you expected to happen? In other words, is this a product of the recession? We would call it a recession if it was us.
Well, back in 2017, I wrote a book about shadow banking in China. And my argument there was that if there's problems in the economy down the road, then there would be a kind of a circling of the wagon strategy. People are going to sit there and go, well, look, either I can put my money into some speculative investment with a lot of dodgy people in an economy that's crashing, or I can put my money in some state-owned entity that I'm hopeful that Beijing, the central government, will support. And I think that's what we're seeing now. People are, it's a flight to safety, just like we have in the United States. But in this case, it's very, very heavily concentrated on the central government. And that means that all the entrepreneurs out there are trying to get money to start businesses, or consumers who want to maybe, you know, set up a little shop selling goods to the United States are going to have a tough time getting money. And you're going to have this sort of haves and have nots, where the haves are the state people connected to the state system, and the have nots are going to be the private economy.
Andrew Collier, Managing Director, Orient Capital Research, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.